As part of the Wellington College Global Citizenship Programme, a number of students have been learning about post-colonial perspectives with EduSpots. Now in their fifth year of running, EduSpots works with 40 UK and Ghanaian schools in active global citizenship projects, with an estimated 15,000 students in over 150 schools benefiting from their education programmes and resources. Post-colonial perspectives was the first of four courses being run over 2021 for students eager to learn more about effective and sustainable community action. Their courses fit well within the Global Citizenship Programme, where students learn more about areas such as the interconnectedness of the world, shared universal values, and respect for diversity and intercultural understanding. The first week of the course focused on definitions of post-colonialism in different contexts. This included post-colonialism as simply the period after colonialism, but also post-colonialism as a condition experienced by a people or nation after colonial rule. There was also discussion about post-colonialism as a metaphysical, ethical, and political theory, as well as in the context of literary theory. Week 2 struck a chord with several students in light of events over the past year, as Chloe explains.
We particularly enjoyed week 2, where we looked at recent events addressing the statues of slave traders that have been pulled down by protesters, who are, quote, tired of colonial iconography. We looked at specific examples such as Edward Colston, who was a British-based slave trader, as well as King Leopold II of Belgium, who was responsible for the rape, mutilation and genocide of millions of Congolese.
This led to a wider discussion about what role these statues and the acknowledgement of racial actions in the past have in our society, which resonated with Yaz.
In my opinion, I think that it is crucial to acknowledge historical events which have shaped and evolved our society to the present day. However, such iconography should be done to the utmost respect and predominantly utilised for educational purposes. Therefore, when it comes to topics such as the Black Lives Matter movement, not only is it of high importance to acknowledge the brutality slaves were faced with, but to dispose of our immoral outlook on slavery through the portrayal of statues. Personally, I am shocked that such statues idolising and honouring men who played awful parts in enabling the slave trade still exist to this day. Yet this only makes change ever more prevalent. I certainly believe that the way in which slave traders inhumanely abused their power on innocent people is unforgivable and should in no way be commemorated. However, I do not believe existence of these events should be erased nor forgotten from history, no matter how cruel or awful the occurrences, but instead used to address and educate society on this period of time, ensuring no further repeats or future permit. Consequently, a sensitive way to acknowledge these figures while educating people may be by placing statues in museums, ensuring information to educate upon the slave trade, and most importantly, by no means commemorate the actions of the slave traders.
Week 3 considered the impact of almost solely relying on Western publishers, syllabuses and images instead of incorporating global resources, as well as some of the practical issues with printing and importing material from around the world. It also asked the question of how we should look to strike the balance between a global knowledge base and appreciation for one's own culture. In week 4, students were introduced to the idea of Orientalism and how it has been perpetuated, which Tara found particularly interesting.
A week that I really connected with was week 4, where we were looking at Disney films and the casual racism woven into some of the older classics. For example, scenes in both Aristocats and Aladdin portray such heavy stereotypes, and until we looked at it under the post-colonial lens, I'd never thought about the messages which these stereotypes depict people of other races to children. Within these films, it also became clear that the white person always came to the rescue of the poor, underprivileged people, often presented as people of colour. Disney films offer a 2D version of culture, and often these versions have negative connotations, which in turn creates a culture of white supremacy where people feel responsible for protecting cultures they know nothing about.
Week 5 drew a lot of interest as the topic was about how the curriculum could or should be changed in relation to colonialism, and Sophie highlighted deficiencies in the current curriculum.
One week that I really enjoyed was week 5, talking about diversity on our education We all concluded that what we have taken out of this course is a lack of diversity in the school syllabus. And we all thought that the taught material is too narrow and does not look into Black history or diversity of others. We also feel that we are not encouraged to expand our understanding. However, we all want to challenge our environment and think that everyone needs to be more diverse with their knowledge.
Week 5 was also well received by Emily, who enjoyed both of the last 2 weeks of the course.
There were 2 weeks in particular which I really liked. The first was week 5, which explored Orientalism. This is basically when Westerners form a stereotype for the Middle East, which is wild or mystical and greatly religious. However, this leads Westerners to misunderstand their culture and place themselves at a difference from Middle Eastern culture. However, this reputation we've given Middle Eastern countries leads us to be seriously blind socially, politically, and ethically. One example was Bin Laden's declaration of war, where he chose to sit in a cave and address the camera. Due to stereotypes and Orientalism, Westerners missed the religious and symbolic meaning of his choice of setting and choice of clothing. This blinded us to the real message of his declaration. The second week was week 6, which was based around othering, where people separate themselves from others as people cannot sympathise or understand what it's like to be in their position. For example, when ethnic minorities tell ethnic majorities that they will never know what it's like to be subject to stereotypes and racist remarks. However, the course emphasised the importance of reducing othering and ensuring efficient communication so that ethnic majorities can receive an accurate depiction of what others go through. They might not exactly experience the same things, but will be able to empathise better.
The Postcolonial Perspectives course opened a lot of eyes about the experiences that people have been through as a result of colonial rule and the struggles that are still felt today as a consequence of those actions. One student wrote that the course had helped them become more aware and educated of the difficulties and problems people have faced, a feeling that was echoed throughout the course feedback. If you'd like to learn more about the Postcolonial Perspectives course, check out the library Padlet created by students called Global Citizenship Postcolonial Perspectives Course, or for more information about any of the courses run by EduSpots, then talk to Mrs. Park of the Global Citizenship team or look at the Welly Hub.